Would you pray with me this morning? Father, it is a joy to gather. It is a joy to know that when we're in this place, that you're with us and we're together in the name of Jesus. Even if we're not even in this physical space, but we're somewhere else, but we're gathered to celebrate you, a mighty God, that you're with us. And so we give you thanks for that. And in the midst of our worship, we trust, Lord, that you are fully aware of all that concerns us, our prayer needs, our concerns, our desires, our troubles, our hardships, our struggles. And so we lay them again at your feet. Lord, not because we haven't trusted that you could deal with it, but you call us to continue to pray. And so that's what we're doing, asking that you would handle what concerns us. And we know you're more than able, so please, by faith, would you receive our prayer request, and would you move in a way that would bring you glory and honor? Would you strengthen and grow our faith as we continue another day of walking with you by faith and not by sight, trusting again that you are more than able? Would you be blessed through this church? Would you continue to grow your kingdom, spread the word, the good news of salvation through New Hope Community Church? Would you draw people to yourself? Thank you, Lord, that we get the opportunity to be a part of that. And I present this prayer along with my brothers and sisters in Christ today in the wonderful name of Jesus. And together we say, amen. Amen. Wonderful. You may be seated this morning. Hey, and if you're standing at home, I guess you can take a seat too. I want to take a moment for the kids that are with us today that are going to be dismissed for kids' church. You guys are dismissed at this time. You're welcome to go. The teachers are waiting on you. They're ready to spend time with you for a little bit this morning. For those that are going to be receiving our offering, if you would kind of get in place this morning as we do that. Before they come to receive our offering, I want to share with you a short little Bible verse from Ecclesiastes, and it's chapter 11, verse 4, and it simply says, if you wait for the perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. That has a lot of truth to that. If you wait till the weather's perfect to do your yard work, well, today's not going to get it done. It's by the way, if you're not here with us in Newburgh, it has been pouring this morning. If you wait for maybe the perfect time to have that conversation with someone, you might never have it, right? If you wait for the perfect moment when you have plenty of money to be generous, well, you might never be generous. There isn't always the perfect moment, you know? There's just moments. And in those moments, what do? With the moment that we have because of what we believe about the God of our faith. So today, I point us again back to Ecclesiastes and says, you know what, we just have to act by faith even when the seasons aren't perfect. Even when the conditions aren't just perfect, we just choose to, sometimes we'll do that yard work, you know, and sometimes we'll just have that conversation because we know it's right, and then we'll be generous because we know it's right. So I share that today to encourage us as we go through life, just trust that no matter what the conditions are, God's more than able, and he asks us to practice generosity in everything. So why don't we do it today as we receive our offering for the Lord? Our ushers would come forward this morning, and God, we just ask that you would take what we give to you as an act of worship. May you bless it. May you multiply it. Use it to extend your kingdom, to grow the church in the name of Jesus. Amen. Fantastic. Hey, if you are at home giving with us, supporting the ministry, and I want to just remind you that you are welcome to, you can mail your offering to the church, 5422 Van Road in Newburgh, 47630, or you can put it in the locked drop box that we have outside. It's right at the front doors. Or you can use our website and go online, and you can give that way as well and be a part of the ministry and a part of the journey that we're on here at New Hope. And we're so glad that we're in it together. I think it's awesome. So let's keep doing it together, right? All right. I made a promise on Facebook yesterday. I don't know if you saw it or not, but I'm going to follow through on my promise. This is something that's been a while coming, which is to present to the church the discipleship pathway that I have been working on with a team, a small team, and I know they wouldn't want me to, but I'm going to do it anyways. I want to acknowledge them and express my thanks to them for taking this journey with me. It's been a team effort, and that is Deb, Courtney, Butch Harper, and Gary Mickle, and myself have met multiple times, and they're so good. Boy, I was like, hey, would you read this, and would you study this, and would you come and talk to me, and let's dialogue about it and explore it. And they were so good, and they did. And I think we are in a richer place because of the council of wise elders in our church. Now, and we're going to start at the first step in this pathway today. And I want to share this with you because I do firmly believe that it takes an intentional journey to be making disciples of Christ who love and grow and serve. Like, that doesn't just happen. God does that in us. But there's a rhythm of life that we ought to live out as followers of Jesus. And so we've been working on trying to identify, well, with who we are now, what does that look like for us? And how would we identify that and communicate that? So here we go. I've got the arduous task to take something and make it simple. And I think we've landed on a wonderful pathway for us at New Hope. And I'm excited today to share it with you and to share it with you at home as well. So, having said all that, let me clarify something up front. Let me say that the whole idea of what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks involves people. If you're not a people person, you're going, I just like to be with myself and God. I could care less about other people. Well, then you might not be here this morning, but I firmly believe that growing as a follower of Jesus, it takes people around us, and that in all truthfulness, that spiritual growth happens best around other people. Now, granted, you have your own relationship with Jesus, right? You, like, for example, you can't be saved by anybody else's faith. You know, you're saved through your own faith in Jesus Christ, not on the backs of anybody else. We all have to make that personal decision. But growing in that faith really does take other people doing that journey with us. We do it together as a community, and I think that's where the best growth happens. So when I talk about this journey, let me say my goal is not to do something that might make you a little nervous. My goal is not to try to shame or make anyone feel bad because maybe they're not practicing parts of the pathway in the rhythm of their life. Okay, that's not my goal. My goal is to teach this pathway, it's to present it, and it's to encourage all of us to walk this pathway with the rest of our lives, however much time we have, and say, Lord, help me. Help me to take this journey. And I'm going to do this with other people at New Hope that are my brothers and sisters in Christ, right? They're part of my church family, and I want to do it with them. I want to take that journey together. So, this is not something that I'm saying is mandated that you have to do this if you're a part of New Hope. No, this is something that we recommend that every person does because we believe that this is a pathway that fits who we are at New Hope and what we understand about how we grow as followers of Jesus. So we encourage everyone to take this pathway and practice it. So that's enough of the preface, and right, let's get into it. You ready? All right, so here we go. The first step is this: Sunday services. And you go, well, yeah, I'm here, like I'm at church. Tell me something I don't know. Well, I don't know if I can do that, but I'll try my best this morning to give something fresh and new, right? All right, so the Sunday services, this time, why do we get together and do this? Because we're celebrating God. At the end of it all, we may come and seek God, but it really we're about celebrating God, to bring glory to God through our faith in Christ. That's kind of why we're here today. Have you ever heard somebody say, I believe in God, but I don't need to get up early on Sunday mornings to go to church? Was that you this morning with all the rain outside and it's a little cooler and damp? And you thought, well, you heard somebody say, you know, I believe in God, I just need to go to church whenever I need a pick-me-up. I just need to be encouraged. Or whenever the mood just kind of hits me and I feel like going, right, then I'll go. Or maybe have you heard somebody say something along the lines of, you know, well, yeah, I believe in God, but, you know, people that often go to church are hypocritical. I've heard that. I have a family member who used to wait tables, and she said that when she worked on Sundays, that typically that church folks, right, and she knew the church folks because they would come right about that time. They're all dressed up, and they come, and, you know, they go out to eat, and she said, typically on Sundays, they were the rudest and stingiest people that I served of the whole week. She said, I didn't like Sundays because I knew my tips were going to be low, which is how you make your money, waiting tables, and I was going to deal with people who felt entitled. She said, that was just the general experience. Not every time, but generally. Enough that glaringly obvious for her. And I hate that. It ought not be that way. If I'm honest with you, I'll tell you, I've wrestled with a couple of these statements that I shared with you in the past. I have. But even though we wrestle with these, it doesn't change that there's a truth that applies. And I think this truth is that Sunday services is a practice of our faith through which God grows us in the character of Christ. This is not just something that we do because we got nothing else better to do on Sunday morning, right? No, this is something we do because we believe it grows us in our faith. Sunday services contribute to our spiritual growth. Now, we know it's not about us being here, right? Because why? We've come to celebrate God. But when we come to celebrate God together, God does something in that, and He grows us in our faith when we engage in that space and participate in what we're doing, which is to lift up the name of Jesus, right? Give thanks to God for all things. Praise Him. And I believe in it so much that I would say, if you really want to grow as a follower of Jesus, you need to engage in the Sunday services on a very regular basis. And I would even go so far as to say, like, every single week. I believe in that. Now, I know some may want to give some flack on that, you know, if they're listening or watching, whatever, you know, and I get all of that. And so you go, you know what? What are you basing this claim on to really say that believers need to go to church every Sunday? Because if I look in the Bible, it really doesn't tell me that I have to go to church every Sunday, right? That I need to be at church. I'm like, so what are you basing that on? Come on, you know, preacher, preach from the Word. Talk, come on, bring, you know. Okay, so let me try that. I first base it on God. That God made us for life in community. In the book of Genesis, it is not good for man to be alone. I will create a helpmate for him. God had created Adam and then says, it's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to create Eve. And together, they are going to do life together, and they're going to have babies, and those babies are going to have babies, and they're going to create a community of people who are going to do life together. I've created you to do life with other people. In the book of Exodus, God calls out a nation of people, Israel, and he invites them into a covenant with him, and he gives them the law and the Ten Commandments, right? And he says to them that this is how you ought to live life together, so the world will know about me by the way that you treat each other through life and community together. It was his plan. You can go to the wisdom books of Scripture, the Bible, and the book of Ecclesiastes, which is always a fun one to read, right? In chapter, I won't mess with all that, but it just, you know, Ecclesiastes tells us, look, one's good, but man, two or more is by far better. Sharing life with people is God's design, and it's God's wisdom. It is a principle for how life is experienced in its best way. That has to ground how we understand the practice of our faith in the world. It's got to be grounded in God, not my own preferences. We get in trouble when our faith becomes about our preferences instead of based on the God of our faith and the written word which he has given us to teach us about how to live a life of righteousness. Why do you need Sunday services to grow in Christ? I would say because God blesses Christ-centered community that shares a faith in Jesus and it really wants to celebrate God. I mean, we know it's true from Scripture, and we can unpack all that today, but let me take a little different angle on this one and say because, guys, we've experienced it, and we know this is true. Think about this for a second. So, if you think over the long haul for a moment, so you've shared your life with people. If nothing else, your family. Or some really good friends that you've had for years. You've been really close with them. So you have that. And then for some, you probably have, you've shared your faith with a community of people, probably for some time. And so you have those experiences as well. And I want you to think for a second on the good relationships that you've had over a longer span of time. So some of the younger folks here today and watching may not relate as well to this. So they're going to, guys who are older in the faith, right? They're going to need you to give testimony to this so that they learn this. That over time, you've learned that in that community where you've like put yourself and lived in it that way, you've put yourself out there, right? You've shared your life. You've opened your life up, and they've done the same for you. What you've learned is that those relationships and those spiritual journeys have become richer. They've become fuller. There's a sense of being satisfaction and contentment. You just kind of feels like stable, right? There's a sense of growing in peace. This is a good place to be. And that's not something that you get right away. That's something that comes over time. And so when we talk about discipling the younger to grow in Christ, this is one of the things that we have to pass along that we know to be true because the Spirit of God has shown us in our own life stories that this is the case. We've learned that what we've experienced is what we can call the fruit of fellowship, and it's growing in us by God's hand, not any other source. And if I'm, again, going to be brutally honest, sometimes doing life in community is a pain. It is hard. People don't play right. You know, But you at home, you agree? Sometimes people just don't play right. They don't say the right things. They don't act the right way. They don't meet your expectations, right? They hurt you and they didn't say, I'm sorry. As far as they know, they didn't do anything wrong. And you're walking every day that you see them going, boy, let me tell you what. I'd love to give them a piece of my mind right now, but that, you know, I need to be like Jesus. So I'm not going to do that. Sometimes people don't play fair. And life in community is hard. But over the long haul, if done God's way, it has the best result. It really does. Now, I want to do something with you today that I don't normally do on a Sunday morning when we're corporately gathered, but I thought this is a great opportunity. And if you're at home with us, I already said out on Facebook that Pastor Andy was going to ask a question today, and so I want you to participate and answer that question. And so I'm going to see your questions here, and I want to share that. So feel free by far, I don't think that makes sense in that context. My brain's not going as fast as my mouth. So I have a question that I want to ask you today, and I want you to answer, and you watching as well, I want you to participate too, okay? Now the question is this: what are some ways that you have been blessed as you have been gathering regularly with a community of believers in Christ on Sunday services where we gather weekly? So I want you, once you think for a second at home, I want you to think too, what are some ways that you've been blessed from gathering with other believers to celebrate God on a regular basis? What do you know? How's that been a blessing for you? How has that blessed you? I want to hear it. Take a moment. Think about that. Think about it. What comes to mind? Accountability. All right. So I'm going to freeze at home. I'm going to repeat some of what folks say right here so you guys can hear that. Fellowship. All right. Anybody been had? Meeting new friends. I love it. Cool deal. Yeah. Encouragement. All right. Support. There we go. Don't make me do a dance up here to get you to participate. What do you think? Prayer. Oh, awesome, awesome. Food. Yes. Yes. Keeping it real. Love it. I love it. Anybody else? What comes to mind? Like what ways have you been blessed as you've gathered with a crowd of believers corporately to worship? And so let me, come online. I've got one in here. New friends in Christ, Carrie says. More learning from other members. That's great. Fantastic. Say, so if you're with us and you want to type something in there, go right ahead. Anybody else? What do you think of? What comes to mind? Ministry. There we go. Yes. Love. Woo. All right. Family. Wonderful. This side's got to catch up. Getting kind of heavy over. No, just kidding. Hope. Wonderful. Yes. Oh, I love it. I think being inspired to love God and love others. Being affirmed, I like that. I've got another one here. Charlie says, it's a blessing to know that others care. That's a good one. I like that. Carrie again, corporate worship itself is a blessing. Yes, that's great. Fauna says, village to help with children. Amen. Coming from the director of our Hope Kids Ministries today. Well said. That's really good. My gosh, you guys are doing awesome. So like your life story, your experience is a testimony. Like, you know the richness of gathering with the body of Christ and celebrating God together. That's something we have to pass along to our kids. Because, for one, what I'm talking about, but also because today's culture is not like it used to be. There's so many options. Doing what you want to do for the sake of whatever makes you feel good takes a big priority in today's culture. Sense of entitlement. We cannot forsake the gathering together. Scripture tells us not to do that. It says, don't forsake the gathering of together, as some are in the habit of doing. Like, come together, because there's fruit in that. God works in that crowd of people as they gather. Sometimes he challenges our beliefs and our values and convictions. Spirit is wonderful at convicting us where it's needed. And I love, as you guys were talking about, being cared for as a family member. Yeah. Donnie said trusting. You guys are nailing it, man. It's so good. I love knowing that for me, you know, people are on this same journey that I'm on. So you think pastor is always just up here all the time, right? And so, but there's times where I'm sitting there with you. And one of the things that I enjoy doing is I like listening to you guys sing. To just stand there, right? And instead of me singing, just to stop and just standing with you, right, as we're all singing together, and just to listen to the voice of the church sing praises to God. Because see, for me, that tells, it reminds me and it affirms in me that I'm not alone, that I'm a part of something that's so much bigger than me, and that even though I have my personal faith, that God is near and dear and with each of us through our own faith. And I'm a part of that wonderful community. Man, it feels so good. It's medicine for my soul, if I could put it that way. It's absolutely wonderful. And I love all the verbs. Do you notice all the verbs? Other than the food. But we'll say eating. Let's go with that, right? Okay. Think of all that. So all those verbs, right? Affirmed and encouraged and loved and cared, right? And serving, all of that. Those things that we experience, that's really, at the heart of it, that's really God working, growing us through those things that are taking place amongst all of us as we gather together. It wasn't just that you told someone good morning and you asked them how they were doing and you actually meant it, right? You know, we often do that. It's like, hey, how you doing? And like sometimes we just don't really mean it. It's like a greeting thing, but we actually like, hey, how are you today? And that when somebody knows that they're cared for, right? That experience they feel in their heart in the body of Christ or in a crowd of people that they are one, but they are many and they are loved and cared for. The Spirit of God is working in their heart in that moment. God loves to work through crowds of people. I was thinking about what a great example of this might be, and one glaringly came to mind. Have you ever seen any of the Billy Graham Crusade services? Those are phenomenal, right? When they used to have, when they were having those, just phenomenal. Because you'd have so many people gathering together in a place, and they would gather, and they would sing, and then they'd pray, and then Dr. Graham would step forward, and he would preach the gospel, and as he would do that, he would make it very clear that, you know, God is calling the world to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ because he alone is the path to salvation and eternal life with God in his kingdom. Whew, had to catch my breath. And through a whole service, the Spirit of God and thousands of people would be moving in the hearts and the minds of the people, inspiring and affirming and encouraging and challenging, convicting people right where they're sitting, knowing their life story, their circumstances. And then Dr. Graham would come to the end of the service. And what did he always do at the extent at the end of the service? We call an altar call, which is the church way of saying he would invite people to make a personal decision to return from your sin, put your faith in Jesus Christ, and follow him as your Lord. And when he would do that, if you ever see a crusade, a videotape of one, you would start to see little, just few people here and there, just start to get up and they start to come forward. He'd invite them there to where he was speaking and they would start to gather. And if you would just watch that, you would begin to see that the few starting to get up would then change and grow into a massive amount of people. I've been in environments like that, and maybe you have too. There's something about that moment when you see that the Holy Spirit of God is moving people's hearts to say yes to Jesus. And that as you sat there, you were probably thinking about your own life and your own relationship with God. And yet thousands and thousands of other people were experiencing that same thing at the same time by the one same God. And He was moving their hearts. And as more people were saying yes, then other people would see that. And the Spirit was prompting them and convicting them to say yes to Jesus. And then they would get up too and move. And it would just be like this wave of people. It was like this momentum would just grow and grow. And you'd have just hundreds of people saying yes to Jesus. God used the crowd for His purposes. It's amazing how God can use crowds for His purpose. If there's any doubt, man, think of Jesus. If you've been with us for a while, you know at some point we got to get to talking about Jesus and how does this fit in. Well, I want you to think for a second. We'll just think about this, what you may know about the story of Jesus in the Gospels. So when Jesus was growing up, He grew up as a Jew. And so, like every other God-fearing Jewish man in that society, he went to the synagogue, right, on a regular basis. And he went to the temple. And he practiced the faith along with all the rest of his community, right? The family did it with the community. And they did it for years and years and years. That was how they lived life. They didn't know it another way. You practice faith with your family and the community who believe like you do. And when he would go to the synagogues and he would go to the temple, he would teach them about the kingdom of God and he would teach them how to live in the kingdom of God, because to God, how you live as a believer matters. Can I just let that stand on its own for a second? How you believe as someone who says they believe in Jesus, it matters in this world. But on top of that, Jesus would be out in crowds of people, and man, he would be preaching and teaching, and he would be performing miracles, and he would challenge people like the prophets of old to turn back to God, turn from your sin, stop your foolishness, and live the way you know you're supposed to live as a person in covenant with God. Like, come on, right? And he would use crowds to share his message with more people at once, which helped build momentum for his message getting out and for the work his disciples were going to do later, for it to grow and to start, get the wheels to turning, right? Absolutely. You say, maybe that's a stretch, but I don't think so, because when you look at what the religious leaders, the chief priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, what they were trying to do to Jesus at the height of his ministry was all about trying to stop the momentum of the crowd of people, because they knew if it gets a rolling and it keeps a going and more believing, because they see that's what everybody else is doing and they're going, there's got to be something to this, right? Like, it matters, I guess. And how will they ever stop it? Even the religious elite knew the power of momentum in a crowd of people. If they knew it, don't you think Jesus knew it before? I got to think, yeah, absolutely. And so he uses it for the purpose of growing his kingdom and getting the message out. Here's my closing argument. Acts chapter 2. In the book of Acts chapter 2, if you want to look at verse 47, I'm going to end up there here in just a second. I'm not going to preach this whole chapter. I just want to say, after the Holy Spirit had come upon the disciples at Pentecost, Luke gives us a synopsis of how they were living, like kind of what the rhythm of that life as believers in Jesus. And they're getting together and they're gathering and they're, you know, they're breaking bread together, they're praying together, they are serving the poor, they're taking stuff they have, they're selling it to get money to give to the poor, and they're getting the favor of the people in the community. They're living this very specific lifestyle, and God seems to be blessing it. And part of that lifestyle was they gathered together corporately to sing hymns of praise to God, as Paul talks about later. And they are learning as they're talking, and they're also praying together. And I love how it ends. And it's not by accident that Luke ends the second chapter in talking about Pentecost and what happens in the church as it's being birthed. It's not by accident that he ends by saying this. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Part of what was drawing people to God was the behavior of the people of God. Amen, preacher. I knew somebody would, somewhere that would come. Exactly. They're gathering together to praise God and to learn about God and to be encouraged by each other's faith in God, specifically through Jesus Christ. It was resulting in them growing in their faith, but it was also resulting in people experiencing that and being drawn to put their faith in Jesus Christ. God was drawing people to Christ through the corporate gatherings and the corporate behaviors of the people of God who were filled with the Holy Spirit and living like people that belong to the kingdom of God. Amen. It's awesome that the growth of the church and the disciples was connected to their rhythm of gathering to worship God. I love that! You say, Pastor, but still the Bible doesn't tell me that I got to go to church every Sunday. I know, but doesn't it tell you so much more about how good it is and how God has made us to do life in community and how God blesses his people when they gather in the name of Jesus and how Jesus himself understood the power of a crowd of people coming to faith and moving in that same faith together? Doesn't your own testimonies in your own life give weight to what I've been talking about today? That it is good for us, that God grows us personally and corporately when we regularly come together and we celebrate God's goodness. It's right there. It's right there for the taking. What do you think? You say, well, yeah, I believe in it. That's why I'm here today. I knew I was going to be preaching to the crowd. And those of you that are worshiping with us at home, I knew I was going to be preaching to the crowd. But you know what I know? That's scary. Don't answer that. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of the simple things that we already know is true. To be encouraged to live the life in Christ that we already know is the right life to live. It's just that sometimes our own personal opinions and preferences and the temptations of the enemy and the world try to deceive us into thinking that there's a better life rhythm for us than to walk the path of being a disciple of Jesus, of which I believe, according to Scripture, God, Jesus, our own personal testimonies, is to gather corporately Sunday services and to do what we've been doing today. It's for our good and the glory of God, the good of His church, and the growth of His kingdom. Who knew that Sunday church could be all about that? Man! So my prayer is that as we go out of this space and we go into the world as followers of Jesus, that we remember, hey, getting together the people of God to celebrate God is something I need. I need it weekly. I need it regularly in my life. That is something that's so good for me. It's good for my family. It's good for my marriage. It's good for my job. Because with some of the people I work with, I need to be Jesus in that workplace. You know, I mean, but I just, Lord, I need what you do when the church gets together. I can't always explain it, but I know I need it in my life, and it helps me grow. Pray with me, please. Father, in this moment, I know that there are always things that are inviting us to choose something other than to celebrate your goodness, but yet also know that it is good and right for the people of God to gather and celebrate you, because you're worthy of all glory, praise, and honor above all, but also because you bless your people when they gather. So my prayer that is, as we leave this space, that as I've already mentioned to our church family, we'll go needing together, longing for that. But also that as we get together, Father, would your Spirit build momentum in the direction that we're going, that we'll grow together as disciples, and that as we work at that, by your grace, we will be effective at your kingdom growing. That we'll all grow together, present and future believers. And I know that by your grace, you can see to it that that happens. And so I ask that you would do just that for your glory. Lord, help us in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.